Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go!
Welcome into Gramlich and McLean, and happy Monday here on the pod. It was a busy weekend for Mac, for me, for all of us, as we watched a ton of college football. And as we finally secured the ACC championship, Mac, I know you are so hype for this ACC title game.
I think this might end up being, because we have 2 weeks, Kelly, I think this might end up being the most anticipated ACC championship ever. Now, I don't know what is going to happen in the game. It might be not as exciting, but I think that leading up to this thing, there's going to be so much excitement, so much hype, so many sound bites, all kinds of different things. By the time the game comes around, it's going to feel like a national championship.
That, or, you know, I was thinking about another game that we spend 2 weeks leading up to, and it's the Super Bowl. Now, I'm not saying that Clemson-Notre Dame is the
same
Super
thing.
Bowl.
It's the exact same thing.
But as someone who's in sports radio, when you have the Super Bowl, you do have those 2 weeks. So you spend so long breaking it down from every angle. And then at some point you're just like, can we play this football
right.
game?
Can we just play?
Ready for it. So
we're kind of entering another a talking season, as I like to call it, at least for Notre Dame Clemson. Obviously, there's a lot of games in between. And even on the day of, we'll still be playing ACC games somehow. But a lot of lead up to that game.
And we do have a big game coming up this weekend with North Carolina, Miami. So we can't wait to talk more about that later on in the week. But Mac, the big game of the weekend, no, it wasn't Notre Dame. No, it wasn't Clemson. It wasn't even Miami. It was the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers, the Mormons versus the Mullets. That game was epic. That was a heck of a football game, Mac.
It had everything that you wanted. It had, you know, fights. It had great plays, defensive things, turnovers, and then the finish. I mean, just
crazy.
Unbelievable for Carolina to you know, have to punt the ball and then, you know, BYU just drive down the field. And the whole time I'm like, oh, I'm so sad. Like, it's over. These guys, they're not going to stop them. This is going to be kind of like a Heisman moment, if you will, for BYU and what they're able to do. And, buddy, they marched right down that field. And on the last play, when he threw it, I said, well, touchdown, because it was so confident. I knew it was going to be either kind of like a skinny post or some type of drag route. Sure enough, those guys kept him out, kept him to the one-yard line. Unbelievable job. That staff, I mean, I had the privilege to call one of their games. And really, at that time, was the biggest game of the year for them, going against Louisiana, really the powerhouse of the Sun Belt, a new power, if you will, thinking about App State, and they got a big dub, you know, like a last second field goal to win that game. And so now to see where they have kind of come from and where they are at this point, it was really awesome to see. So ecstatic for that coaching staff, for a former teammate of mine, Adrian Dunn is on the strength staff there. And just to see those guys get better and better each and every week, it's going to be really fun to see where the CFP is going to rank these guys. Those will come out Tuesday night. We'll break them down Friday and talk all about those. But I'm thinking they make a significant jump. They were at 18. I think at a minimum, they go to 13 and kind of take BYU's spot. But I would not be surprised if they're a little bit lower. And honestly, I think they might deserve that.
It was the game of the weekend. It was what we love about college football. Two programs really trying to make their mark. Passionate fan bases. You've got one team coming from, you know, completely opposite institutions. Let's just be clear about
that. Very, very different.
You call Coastal Carolina, Carolina. It begs the question. With that win, you know, some people say Carolina's in Chapel Hill. Dabo has said that. Some say Carolina is South Carolina. But I feel like Coastal Carolina has earned the Carolina name now.
Carolina is in Conway, South Carolina. Look out. Come on.
Mullets versus Mormons. That is just, that's iconic.
I need a t-shirt. If anybody listening prints t-shirts, does that, I need that shirt. That was amazing. And I think they need to monetize that. I'd be selling that like crazy right now if I was Coastal Carolina.
No doubt about it. Well, you mentioned the college football playoff rankings, Mac. We will get to that on our Friday episode. So stay tuned. We'll break all that down. And like we said, we still have some big games coming up this week. Even though Clemson and Notre Dame are off, we still have a blockbuster game in North Carolina and Miami. And Mac, we have a special guest coming up on Wednesday as well.
Yeah, really, really excited for this guest, guys. You're going to need to set your notifications on. I don't even know if you can do that, but you need to find a way. Set an alarm, set a calendar event. Wednesday's episode, Virginia linebacker Charles Snowden is going to join us. I'm really pumped for this. He's one of my favorite players in college football. Kind of a little celebrity crush right here on Charles Snowden. So for him to join the podcast.
Bromance.
Bromance. Thank you. It sounds a little better. Just for him to join the pod, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to talk about a ton of stuff, leadership on, off the field. Virginia, obviously facing Virginia Tech. They have the Commonwealth Cup right now, and I know they're not wanting to give it back. So excited to talk to Charles on Wednesday.
I was definitely not giving Virginia Tech, Virginia the love it deserved when I kept teasing out Miami UNC, but I'm excited for that game too. There's a lot of unknowns with Virginia Tech, who's going to play quarterback, all that stuff. So it's going to be a great game, and Charles Snowden will break it down for us. If he is your man crush, if you will, in college football, then my equivalent would be Haley Van Lith at Louisville. I don't know if you've seen her playing basketball for the Louisville Cardinals, but she is ridiculous.
Well, I expect you to get her on the podcast. So
I will work on it. Is like an actual celebrity though. She has, I believe, 700,000 followers on Instagram. So I'll Perfect. Work on it. Okay. I'll work on it. I'm going to put in my request now.
I love it.
Okay, Mac, it's time for our Big Three review. And this is brought to you by Sunshine Beverages. Guys, I just called a game on ACC Network from home, literally just finished it. And I had the Lotus Pear Sunshine Energy Water, and it was excellent. I had it about 30 minutes before tip off. I'm still pretty energetic, so as you can tell, and it was delicious. But we know, guys, you're busy, you're on the go. You want an easy, delicious boost, and not just by overloading on caffeine, you want sunshine. Sunshine has the delicious energy beverages you want, plus essential electrolytes, minerals, and vitamins to keep you feeling your best, and only 70 milligrams of caffeine that is sourced from organic green coffee beans. That's no more caffeine than a cup of coffee. So forget the boost and crash cycle. You want feel-good energy. Get Sunshine today at your local Publix, or even better, go online at drinkthesunshine.com and use our code ACC10 at checkout to save 10% on your order. That is online at drinkthesunshine.com.
Come on, Kelly. You know what? That's why you're such a pro. That's why you get paid the big bucks to do that. But like you said, it is time for our Sunshine Beverages Big Three review. It was a great weekend. A lot of fun games that maybe we didn't think would be as close as they would. And then also a lot of blowouts as well. It was kind of a good mix this weekend.
Notre Dame, Clemson, and Miami set the tone. There's no doubt. So let's start with Notre Dame. I will toot my own horn here, Mac. I had Syracuse covering, so I will say that. Just because I figured Notre Dame, kind of like what we saw with Clemson, not necessarily looking ahead, but just knowing you don't need to play your A game to beat this team. And Syracuse has been playing with fight. There's no doubt about it. But number two, Notre Dame defeats Syracuse at home 45-21. What did you see from Notre Dame, Mac? Because to me, I felt like Clemson was more the sleepwalking team. I didn't really see that from Notre Dame. They got down early, but Ian Book still played great, and it was a big-time win for Notre Dame on senior day.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know if it was sleepwalking or if we want to blame it on senior day or if we want to blame it on looking ahead to Clemson. But when you saw the performance, it just wasn't the start that I expected to see from Notre Dame. And again, I mentioned senior day, a lot of emotions, your last time ever playing at Notre Dame. So a lot of different things there. And again, a huge matchup on the horizon. It was funny enough, after the game, you know, where Clemson has not clinched yet, all Coach Kelly said on his presser was, we're getting ready for Clemson. We're coming in this day and we're preparing for Clemson. We're coming in. And I was just like, well, they still have to win, but I get the respect. So, I have to think in the back of their minds, they're discussing this and they're talking about the Tigers again already. But again, I talk about that sleepwalking, and this is like a fine tooth comb that we're going through this game. So I'm gonna give you a couple of negatives, and then we're gonna be quick and get out of that. Before the Syracuse game, Notre Dame was only giving up 85 rushing yards per game. Syracuse went for 229. Now that is a significant increase. We have not seen, Notre Dame give up that many yards rushing in quite some time. They also gave up 414 total. So it was a little bit of surprise when I saw that defensive performance. My man Kyle Hamilton, the best safety in the country, only had one tackle. And so it was just a very interesting game. Syracuse obviously had a really good, kind of attack coming into this game, a great plan, and just a slow start offensively for Notre Dame, as I mentioned, only 3 points in the first quarter. And then all of that was put to bed really quickly. You know, Notre Dame, 21 points in the second quarter, 14 in the third quarter. Ian Book, I mean, he played like Superman. This guy has gotten better and better and better since the Clemson game. 338 total yards, 5 total touchdowns. I mean, what a way to go out, Kelly, on your senior day as the winningest quarterback, of all time for Notre Dame. 30 wins, the way he did it. He's answered all these calls, answered all these bells. It was really impressive to see. And it's interesting, you see that number 30 on my senior day.
I was going to say, Mac, how many wins did you have?
Yeah, I became the winningest player, not just a position player, in Clemson history with 43 wins. So a little bit of difference there between Notre Dame and Clemson. Now, of course, I wasn't the starter like he was for all 30 of his, for all 43 of mine. I finished with 46. I would have loved, Kelly, to have finished with 47 wins, because I'd have a nice little national championship ring on my finger right now. But again, Ian Book, Notre Dame, you know, they're peaking at the right time. I know this game might be viewed as a little bit of a hiccup, but again, still a 24-point victory. You shouldn't be feeling too bad for anybody Notre Dame-wise.
I think Notre Dame, even though they started a little sluggish, they looked great towards the end of that game. But with Syracuse, Mac, I saw you tweeting out some positive things that you were seeing from the Cuse, especially in their secondary. Sell me on some hope for Syracuse moving forward.
Yeah, they have a lot of young guys on that defense, Kelly. Guys that are stepping up, playing extremely well. And the two guys that really just jump off the screen to me is, number one, Garrett Williams, a guy that has picked off Sam Howell, Trevor Lawrence, and Ian Book. He made some tips. He didn't get a pick. But just seeing this seeing that guy play, he is tenacious. He is aggressive. He's a big DB. He is a guy that is not afraid. He led the team in tackles against Notre Dame. So really excited to see that guy. And then they just have a couple other pieces that have done really well, and that you think that if they get a little bit more time, they get a little bit more cohesion together, that defensive backfield is going to be really, really good. Now, can we get the offense to a point to where we're like, okay, this is serviceable? Like, you know, EJ said a month or so ago on the podcast, you have this elite defense, but can your offense, you know, come up? That'll be the biggest question mark. Because the offense, as soon as I tweeted that out, right, is, man, they got Ian Book. This is great. A play later, they fumble the ball and give it right back. So they have all these great turnovers. They lead the country in turnovers created on the defensive side of the ball. And then they cannot capitalize. They have one win, 10 losses. And that's why. That's why. So there's a lot of room for improvement, but there's also something to be excited about, and some really key players that are coming back next year that you've just got to feel good about if you're Syracuse.
Speaking of turnovers, we will get to the Miami Duke game in just a moment, but we got to talk about Clemson first in our second game of our big three. Number three, Clemson, goes to Blacksburg in a very cold game, beats Virginia Tech 45-10. I would describe Clemson as more sleepwalking than Notre Dame. I feel like the game plan was very vanilla. Clemson didn't even try to take shots downfield until finally they targeted Cornell Powell a few times. Have you ever seen, Mac, a team, does this ever happen in your playing career, where a team like Virginia Tech, they just tried to play keep away? There's ball control, and then there's playing keep away and just not letting Clemson get the football.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did. And it was a fantastic idea, and it worked really well for at least a half. So you look at the first half, and Virginia Tech had a 3:45-minute drive, a 4:42-minute drive, a 7-minute drive, a 3-minute drive, and then ended with the ball and finished with a minute drive. That adds up to about 20 minutes of 30 minutes in the first. I mean, it was unbelievable how they were able to do that, keep getting yards, keep finding ways to pick up first downs, and keep the ball away. And Clemson, you know, went into halftime with, you know, the lead, but it was slim pickings. And when Clemson did not take advantage, they punted right away. It was a very strange start sleepwalking, to say the least, what we saw from them, at least in the first half. Trevor didn't play great. He was staring guys down. A couple of silly throws that were just throwing the ball in jeopardy that we have not seen him really make this year. And again, there's so many things that could be going on with these kids and, you know, what they're going through with their lives, whether it was the weather or just sleepwalking in general, not respecting this team or even looking forward and ahead to Notre Dame. But overall, like you said, it felt very vanilla execution when these vanilla play calls were made. Wasn't great. And I was also shocked, Kelly, that it took so long for Clemson to call a shot and to take a shot. I mean, they were going man coverage uptight, no safety help over the top. And it's like, we're just going to run an inside zone here. And I thought that that was strange. Maybe, again, it's not wanting to put anything else on film before Notre. You know, I'm not sure. It's such a chess match when you look at these things, and maybe that's a reason why.
It is a chess match. There's no doubt. And I understand that. But explain this to me like I'm five, Mac, because I don't understand trying to play a vanilla game plan and not show Notre Dame a lot of stuff when you've already played Notre Dame. Now, I get that DJ Uiagalelei was your quarterback in that game, but it's not like Notre Dame is unfamiliar with you. Do you know what I mean?
No, and that could totally be, you know, wrong. I mean, I obviously don't have the play sheet, the call sheet in front of me. It could have just been an execution thing and either wrong reads or guys not doing the right thing. There were a couple of times there it did look like some miscommunication. But you're right. To do that before an opponent who already has played you, already has beat you, you know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure why it looked the way it did. But, you know, with all that said, Kelly, Clemson wins by 35 points. Covers on the road, you know, defense played remarkably well, caused three turnovers, scored a touchdown on defense, and held Virginia Tech to 100 yards under their rushing average. So it was a great effort. It's nitpicky. Obviously, you and I went there. So we have a certain way we expect the game to look. And that might not have been it. And then I look at the scoreboard after, I'm like, well, 35-point win, can't be too mad about that. So I think that it's great for both of these teams, Notre Dame, Clemson, that they're off and they have 2 weeks to get healthy, to get a game plan together, just to be ready for each other. And I think that in itself, the matchup between coordinators is going to be so fascinating to watch. I really cannot wait for round two, but we have a little bit of time before then.
We do. And one of the biggest questions that we'll probably all be debating for the next 2 weeks is just the health of Clemson's defense with Skalski. He only played the first series. He was held out as a precautionary reason because he was feeling sore. You had some other guys get banged up. Jake Venables, I believe, broke his arm, which is, that's rough. So we'll see what happens with Clemson moving forward. But I just think the biggest question is really not their offense. It's defensively, can they stay healthy? So to your point, Mac, it's probably, I think it's fair. You didn't want to have one of these teams playing on December 12th just from an injury perspective. So it is the fair thing to do.
100%. I think it was a great thing that the ACC did. And really, I expected it. As soon as we heard Clemson pretty much say, we're not playing Florida State, we're not going to Tallahassee, I know Florida State's not going to Clemson, I was like, okay, well, the ACC is going to take care of Notre Dame. They're not going to put them at a disadvantage and make them play this game when they've already clinched. There's no reason to, and I don't see why, you know, people are getting upset about it. A team that's undefeated, number two in the country, I think it was the best thing that happened.
Let's get to what many would say is the third best team in the ACC. I would say that. I believe you would say that as well. The polls say that, Mac. Number 10, Miami, went to Durham, North Carolina, and just whooped Duke. I mean, just killed him. 48-0. Shut out Duke. Duke had five turnovers. We can talk about that, Mac, if you would like. But let me start with this question about Miami. I feel like, especially since the COVID issues, and we talked about it, they've been off for a while because they had COVID, so we weren't sure if they were going to look rusty or rested. Well, I think they looked rested, that's for sure. But if you're Miami, there's a chip on your shoulder right now, right? Because you have one loss. You're still only ranked 10th in the country. We'll see if they move up this week. And if Notre Dame had not joined the league, you'd be playing for an ACC championship. So do you see that with Miami? Do you see that chip on the shoulder?
I think so. And I think I see that well-rested, healthy, in sync, even more things that we were questioning going into this game. What were we going to see from these guys? And it's a really interesting thing to be thinking about, Kelly, and how much, if you want to call it anger, frustration, whatever, Miami might have right now with the ACC. And just the fact that what you just said, those guys would be playing for an ACC championship, playing to get in to a college football playoff if it were not, you know, for Notre Dame. Now, obviously, we saw what happened to Miami when they played Clemson in the regular season. And who's to say that wouldn't happen again in a potential ACC championship? But they've gotten better. King is a different quarterback than when he played against Clemson. The accuracy that he's throwing the deep ball with, the in sync that he is with his wide receivers, the same page that we've seen. He's a different guy. Now, again, you have to have time. You have to be able to throw the ball. Guys have to be open. Clemson still would get after him. But I just have to think that Miami is a little upset right now. And I've heard from their fans. I've heard how they're, you know, not very happy with the league. And I think rightfully so. The good thing about all of this is you don't have to get whipped by Clemson again and still get into an Orange Bowl potentially. You still have that potential New Year's Six bid, whether it's automatic with the Orange Bowl or maybe even an at-large. You know, I think the way Miami's going and the fact that they're going to be playing another ranked team next week, they have a great opportunity to finish within like the top eight, maybe even top six if things happen the right way and they get a little help and other people lose. So you're in a great position right now. You just have to take care of your business and you're going to be playing in a really nice bowl game. So I think there can be a little bit of frustration and anger, but just, you know, look at the big picture and see where you ultimately can be and not so much of woulda, coulda, shoulda, what if, whatever. So, you know, when you look at the game against Duke, just quickly to dial into that, you know, it was awesome to see the turnovers. We jokingly said, you know, we might see it 10 times. They're not going to put up the turnover chain. Well, I was close. They turned it over.
You were back.
Yeah, Miami got after them. Four fumbles, one pick. Was really impressive to see those guys flying around on the defensive side of the ball. Quincy Roche, Jalen Phillips, two guys that had their best games. And Quincy had three tackles for loss, a sack and a half. Jalen Phillips had 3.5 tackles for loss and a sack and a half as well. And you love to see that, especially with a guy like Jalen Phillips, who at the very beginning of the season, way back in August, we kind of had breakout players in the ACC. And I said, this is my guy. I think he is going to have a fantastic season. I think he's going to fall back in love with playing football. And that's exactly what has happened. I hope he comes back for one more year. But I think if he leaves, he's going to be a top three round draft pick. And maybe, depending on how he tests, find his way early in the second round. So both of those guys played really well. Offensively, Miami, I mean, King looked fantastic. He threw the ball at 67% completion ratings, 250 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 46 rushing yards and a touchdown. He's Mr. Do-It-All. Brevin Jordan was great to see that big tight end get rolling. And just the ground game for Miami, 220 yards. It was impressive to see that balance. After 3 weeks of football without being played, it did not look like a team that just took a break in the middle of the season at any stretch.
It's weird to say this was a statement game because they played Duke, so I get that. But I felt like it was a statement game because, you know, Miami's going on the road. We've seen Miami barely beat some teams on the road. The NC State game, even though NC State's pretty good, they almost lost that game. Same with Virginia Tech. But they show up to Durham and say, no, we're just going to destroy this team because we're that much better. So I was impressed. Now, when it comes to, let's just look ahead for a quick second, Mac, to Miami and North Carolina. From a player's perspective, would you rather have just played a cupcake in Western Carolina, where you rested all your guys and things like that? Or would you rather, if you're Miami, have just played an ACC game? Now, I know they blew them out, but which team do you think has more momentum heading into this UNC-Miami matchup?
I think it's Miami for sure. And you look at the last couple of weeks and the fact of where Miami has been getting and better. I know they had those, you know, 3 games before where they won by like a total of 9 points, but the team was getting better just in different ways. So, and then you had a 3-week break where you seemingly got much better as a football team. You looked fantastic against Duke. That's where I would rather be. And the confidence level of Miami has to be very high. Where on the opposite side, you look at North Carolina, they just got skunked by Notre Dame in a half and totally shut down. So you're questioning your game and your confidence there. I think both of these teams obviously are very good. A lot of firepower. It's going to be interesting to see with Miami, you know, what do they try and take away? Because Miami has a pretty good run defense, and not to the extent of a Clemson or of Notre Dame, but if you can limit those two great backs and just put Sam Howell and the UNC offense in an uncomfortable situation where they have to throw, that they don't want to have to throw. It's complimentary and they do it very well. But if you force them and that's the only thing that's there, it can be very advantageous to your defense. And again, guys that are flying around, they're going to match up speed very well with UNC, be able to run with those guys. So I can't wait to watch that game. It's going to be a very nice appetizer for the ACC championship, kind of the play-in game, you know, for really third place. If you beat this game, you know, UNC, you become that team that, you know, maybe goes to the Orange Bowl, maybe goes to another at-large bid. So it's going to be very interesting to see the results of that game. Can't wait to further preview. And I know we just gave you all a little taste on Friday's episode.
It takes me back to holiday basketball tournaments, which, Mac, you know about. And there would be a third place game. So exactly. You really could see who gets third place. I think that's a really cool thing that we're going to have in the ACC. Mac, before we get to our speed round, I want to give you a chance to give us any thoughts that you may have, whether they are plentiful or you have zero, on Duke.
Get to next year, I think, is the best thing. Just regroup, figure it out. I really did not think, Kelly, that we would see this team have as many turnovers as they did a year ago. Now
they
have
even
more.
Could we have ever imagined a team with this many turnovers?
No, no, we couldn't have. And that's the biggest thing. And, you know, just figuring out who you are as a team. Hopefully you can keep a majority of your team. I'm thinking Chris Rump is long gone. Victor Dimukeji, long gone. And maybe some other guys in that secondary, some NFL guys. But if you can keep the majority of your offense back intact, you have to at least feel better about it. But they've got a long way to go. I think you have a pretty good nucleus to build around. But other than that, it's going to be a tough outing. The good thing, the silver lining for Duke, is that you play one more game and you play maybe the worst team in the ACC. If it's not you, it's Florida State. This is the battle. So listen to this, Kelly. We have a battle for third place and we have a battle for last. So, you know, somebody's got to win. And it's going to be interesting to see who finishes at the very bottom of the totem pole, number 15. In the ACC, because we have a championship game for it.
You say Duke and Florida State playing for last, but Syracuse says, hold my beer.
No. Look, Syracuse plays with effort. These two teams, it's like,
okay,
man,
I like
even want to be out there. So Syracuse, to me, in my power rankings, y'all will see them earlier, or probably depending where you listen to this show on Packer and Durham. I have Syracuse at 13.
Okay, I like that.
I have
that.
Duke at 15. And Florida State at 14, simply because they haven't played. I wanted to put them at 15, but Duke, you know, overwhelmingly, they made that jump.
Okay, so we'll see. And you know what? Mac rewards effort. And
that's,
I appreciate
right. I do.
That, Mac.
I do.
That's good
do.
Stuff.
Not just participating. You got to try. You can't just show up. You got to try hard. And look, I like Duke. If you're listening to this, you're like, man, Eric hates Duke. I have more Duke gear than any other team, except for Clemson. So I'm a big Duke guy. So don't think I'm hating on those guys. They've earned it.
Can we just acknowledge that Mac's alarm just went off because he's cooking ribs right now?
Okay. So if you guys heard that,
is that
what
that was
for? Fantastic recipe on the Traeger grill right now. Traeger, if you're listening to this, sponsor this podcast, I can give you some more love.
That is
amazing.
But they're
going to be amazing. I'll post pictures. Y'all see them.
I love that so much. Okay. That was our Sunshine Beverages Big Three review. Enjoy a can of sunshine and have all the natural feel-good energy you need. Remember, they're available at Publix and online at drinkthesunshine.com. Use our promo code ACC10 for 10% off. Mac, let's get to the speed round because you've got ribs to eat, my man.
That's right.
Number 17, North Carolina. We kind of touched on this game. Beats Western Carolina 49-9. UNC just handled business against an inferior opponent.
Yeah, very businesslike. What you would want to see from a team that, you know, just struggled immensely against Notre Dame, especially in the second half, got back on track. The passing game looked fantastic. The run game was fantastic. That's what you expected to see, what you want to see. Good job for those seniors going out with a W.
And then speaking of momentum heading into a game this weekend, Virginia beats Boston College 43-32 at home. Brennan Armstrong was doing it all, running and passing. He looked great. There is no doubt that the Wahoos have momentum heading into their rivalry game.
Yeah, it's a very exciting time to be looking at Virginia. I know your overall record maybe not reflective of the excitement that I'm sharing with you guys right now. But when you look at who this team is and who this team is going to be moving forward and next year, and understanding that the development process that it took to get to this place, it just so happened while you guys were keeping score. And is that fair? No. But is it the time we're living in? Yes. And the good thing is your team has responded. In the last 3-4 games, y'all are averaging 43 points a game. This offense is electric. It's fun to watch. It's creative. And you finally have some pieces around, not just a great quarterback. You have some very complimentary pieces that are working really well. You know, Kelly just mentioned Brennan Armstrong. He's one of the, I think there's 5, 6, maybe 7 quarterbacks in the entire country that have had a 250-yard passing game and a 100-yard rushing game. So for him to be able to accomplish that, he's in rare air. He's just a great quarterback that's getting better. So there's a lot of excitement for Virginia. You've got to be feeling good. On the other side, Boston College, -7 rushing yards. When did anybody ever think that that was going to be a thing? In that same breath, y'all had 520 passing yards. It was awesome to see a guy like Dennis Grossell have an opportunity, step into it, and just set a record for the most all-time passing yards for Boston College with 520, 4 touchdowns. Unfortunately, he also had 3 picks, which was really the story of the game. Virginia capitalizing on that, ultimately winning the game.
Okay, speaking of third place, NC State says, hey guys, just hold on a second. Now, they beat Georgia Tech 23-13. NC State finishes the year 8-3, 7-3 in ACC play. Now, of course, if Miami beats North Carolina, and really even if Miami loses, they're probably going to secure third place. But NC State, 7 league wins. I know they've played more ACC games than ever before. They found a way to win. That's what they do, Mac.
It's absolutely what they do. And this one, it was interesting, Kelly, because again, I've said this every episode. It seems like this defense, you watch them, they look fantastic. They're flying around all over the ball. Then I look at the stats and they gave up more yards than they earned on offense. And I'm just like, oh, it doesn't make any sense. They have such great linebackers, defensive linemen. Aleem McNeil actually announced he's leaving. He's going to the NFL draft. I think that's a great decision for him, especially this year. When you look at the talent for inside defensive linemen, it's a low ceiling. There's only a handful of guys that are even being spoken about for the top 3 rounds. So a guy like that who has kind of earned this spot, and I look around at PFF, I look at some other draft network rankings, they have him as the #1 defensive tackle. So go get your money, man. You've played extremely well. I thought you were going to come back and, you know, really be a key piece, but, you know, opportunity meets, and you kind of got to go do that. So NC State finishing the season just on a absolute high note, how they win, 8 total wins, a team that we did not expect to see this from at all. You proved us all wrong. Fantastic job. Dave Doran throwing his name in there, coach of the year. It's going to be interesting to see where that award goes when it's all said and done.
And we'll see. Hopefully, you know, we don't really know about bowl games this year. NC State definitely deserves to play in a bowl game. So we'll see where they end up. Knock on wood with all that moving forward in the postseason.
Yeah, you've got to think it's going to be a halfway decent bowl. But again, with things getting canceled, move around, you guys can help by wearing your dang masks and not going out in public and spreading this thing. It's a scary time, but we can all get through it together. Guys, it was a fun weekend, a great week of games. Really excited for our Wednesday's guest. Don't forget to come back here for that episode. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks for listening. If you haven't already, go to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast. Drop a little rating, a little review. We greatly appreciate that. But until next time, we'll see y'all.